Turn with me to Acts chapter 21, one verse. Then turn over to Acts chapter 8. I want to try to challenge the church tonight as believers in Christ. The thing that's on my heart is soul winning. Winning the loss to Jesus. And there's a man here, and I told Brother Paul Pritchard, you might be going to get a repeat. When Brother Rick talked to me years ago, I could not get this message back off my mind and off my heart. And I said, Lord, I made mistakes by arguing with you in the past, and I'm not going to argue with you. Amen. I've learned this to mind God. And listen, pray for us. And I did want to ask you to do one thing for my wife and I. And I shared this with Brother Rick yesterday. Since we had to shut our church down back in April, we've been trying to find us a home church. And as an evangelist or whatever God wants me to do, I need a home church to work out of. And as a home church, you have to have people backing you, supporting you, praying for you. I ain't worried about the financial part. I just want the prayers. Amen. It's just good to know when you're out preaching, Brother Ralph, you got people praying for you. And in saying that, I will say this, and we'll get into Scripture. I was in a youth group here at Bible Way, back in the old building. Brother Gary Perry and Brother Blaine Morgan was our youth directors. First youth Sunday we had, 12-year-old. And I never will forget it. I was 12 or 14. But anyway, it was the first youth group of service we had. And they told me, said, you're going to teach the adult class. And I thought, there ain't no way. I told Gary and Blaine, I said, y'all crazy. I said, I can't teach them man of God in there. Brother Paul Bentley, was there, Brother Paul, scholar Bill Coffey, Wayne Overbay, and they was others. And I remember I walked up to that back door there, Brother Rick. We had prayer back there in the youth room, and I walked up to that door, and I said, like I'm going to say tonight, I had my Bible in my hand, said, Lord, if there's going to be any teaching done this morning, it's going to be you. If there's going to be any preaching done tonight, it's going to be him. Because I can't do it. But I went in that morning, and I walked up, and my knees, you could probably play in Rocky Top or Yankee Doodle Dandy or something, but buddy, I tell you what, they probably see my pants legs just shaking. Stood up there, and they had a little podium for me right there already set up. There was those men of God. I sit right in front of them. You know what? They helped me as I taught. They made it easy as I taught. Oh, heaven come down, Brother Rick. Lord, those men were praying for me. I ain't gloating or bragging, but the next time we had youth service, they said, we want Brother Ralph back. That was an encouragement. And I learned from that point, you need people's encouragement as long as you go, Brother Rick, you need encouragement from your church and people. Paul, Joe, all these preachers, all you preachers here, you need to know that people are encouraged. Brother Don, you've been encouraged, haven't you, by other people. And pray that God will, I don't want to miss his will. I told Brother Rick here, I don't want to miss God's will. I don't want to miss his will. I want to be where God can use my wife and I as long as we're upon this earth. Or whatever his will is. Somebody said, would you ever pastor against? That's up to him. I'm happy. I'm just happy following his will. I'm happy following his footsteps. And I'm happy that he's blessed us and opened the doors for us to go stand and just try to do our little part. Amen. To help fill the kingdom of God. Amen. To help be a blessing to a Christian that might be down and out. To help sow some seed to a soul that's lost that maybe somebody else can come and water. Amen. God gives the increase. Amen. I just want to do my little part, hey, in the body of Christ. If it's just a toenail, I'm happy just being a toenail. Amen. I'd rather be in the backside of everything than the front. Amen. Right quickly, Acts chapter. We'll get through this. I'll get you out here just a little bit, I promise. Acts chapter 21 and verse 8 says, "And the next day, we that were Apollos' company departed and came into Caesarea." And we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist. Notice that Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. Father, Lord, for the next little bit, get Ralph Owens out of the way. Father, I pray tonight that people will see you tonight and they'll hear you. And Lord, just help us, Lord, to be mindful of what you'd have us to preach. And then, Lord, share the gospel tonight that you revealed to us. And just help us get out of the way tonight and speak to us. Help us be a blessing and help to the church, the pastor, and each one that's here. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. And we find here that They called Philip the evangelist. And you go back over in the first part of Acts chapter 7, you see that how that they chose seven deacons. They want to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. And then we find here now Philip is an evangelist. He's out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And listen, back during the time Philip was lived, and the early evangelists, if you want to put in missionaries and the deacons here, as they was trying to help Paul and others, well, I mean, as they were trying to help the church, not Paul at this time, but others, hey, they were living in havoc. They was living in danger. Just to mention Christ, just to stand up and preach Christ, their life was in danger, amen, at any given time. And we see the story right before this chapter, chapter 7, where that Stephen stood, amen, and he stood in boldness, and he preached to a bunch of Sadducees and Pharisees, and he was preaching the truth, and he called them what they was, amen. Made them angry and mad. But oh, I tell you what, the Holy Ghost of God on him, he kept preaching, amen. And then they started taking stones, and they were stoning him. He kept preaching. He wouldn't be probably like me trying to run high and trying to cover, but oh, he kept preaching. And then right before he died, he said, I see Jesus. Woo! What a little time did you see? I see Jesus. Standing. Amen. Oh, wouldn't you like to go out like that? Wouldn't you like to go out dying on the battlefield, Brother Paul, in the mission field in Brazil, preaching the gospel? Amen. And the world killing you for preaching the gospel. Oh, what a death it would be to die. What an honor it would be to die a martyr's death, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And old Stephen said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, the forgiveness. We as Christians today, Brother Doyle, no matter what we go through, nay, listen, this wasn't the lost people. This was your religious crowd that was killing him, amen. It wasn't a sinner, if you want to say, by the reading of God's Word, they actually had a stone in their hand. It was Sadducees. It was Pharisees. It was people of the synagogue, amen, that was stoning this man of God to death, amen. They didn't want no part of the gospel. They were still trying to promote, preach, and teach the law. But oh, he was trying to tell them about one, amen, his high lifted up, one that died for him, one that bled for him, one that would save their soul if they had turned to him. They didn't need the priest no more, amen. They could go right directly to the throne room of God and take their prayers and petitions and pray themselves to a holy God, a holy Father, amen, our heavenly Father. But oh, I tell you what, you got people today. I like what Rick said. I was listening to B.R. Lincoln the other night preach about heaven. And he's talking. He said he's talking about heaven. He said some people's going to be in heaven is Baptist. He said, well, which Baptist is it? Baptist, Independent Baptist, Missionary Baptist, or Buzzard Baptist. Amen. But he said, I got news for you. Only people are going to be in heaven tonight are those lost sinners saved by the grace of God. And honey, I tell you what, tonight, that's all that's going to be there is sinners saved by the grace of God. Well, old Stephen, hey, he didn't belong to the first church, amen. He didn't belong to the second church. He belonged to the body of Christ. And that's what we belong to tonight. But we find the stony to Stephen. We find in Acts chapter 8, it said, and Saul was consenting to his death. And at the time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad. You know what? The church today is kind of scattered abroad with this COVID in it. We're kind of scattered abroad, amen. People just now trying to come back. Hey, it's sad that it ain't because we're being persecuted by the world that we're scattered. It's called a disease by COVID. That's kind of got us scattered. God's people afraid to come back to the house of God. Yeah. Bible said perfect love casts out all fear. Said fear the one that destroyed both soul and body. Hell, now I had the COVID. I had the COVID back sometime last year. I know what it's about. I've had it. I've been through it. I lived through it. I lived through the cold. I lived through AFib. I've lived through the flu. Amen. Lived through a bad car wreck I should have died in. But I tell you what, my Bible tells me not fear the one that destroyed both soul and body in hell. He said we all got appointed time with death. We all got an appointed time. Amen. But we don't know that day and time is coming, but we all got an appointed time with death. Amen. And after that's going to be the judgment. But we got an appointed time, but that appointed time, we need to be found faithful in God's house. Amen. We don't need to be forsaken God's house. We need to be faithful to God's house so we can come in, as Hebrews 5:10 tells us to exhort one another. Amen. As we see the day approaching, we can't exhort one another. We can't help one another. We can't be a blessing to one another. Brother Don, if we're scattered, amen. Oh, we got to come together in unity. Amen. In unity and in one accord and worship the Holy God that saved our soul. But we find here the church was scattered. And it said here, devout men carried Stephen to his burial and make great lamentation over him. As for Saul, y'all taught on the Apostle Paul. And right here we see a Saul was making havoc of the church. He was over there gloating. He was over there holding on Stephen's coat. Amen. He held it. He was holding. He said, hey, we got another one. We shut up another one. We shut up another one. But lo and behold, Sam, he didn't know that God had a plan for him, did he? Amen. He didn't know that on the Damascus Road, one day he was going to be persecuted. Somebody may have been out there holding his coat. Amen. Oh, the crowd, the religious crowd stoned him too, didn't they? Oh, they stoned him. But oh, I tell you what, they left him for dead. He told how many times he was stoned, shipwrecked, and left for dead. And said, God, I'm shook the dust off and went home. Our problem is we won't go home and cry about it. We want to pout about it. We want to be like Nemus. We want to quit. We want to give up. But here's one man that didn't, I'm getting ready to talk about. Old Philip, the evangelist. He had a love for God. He had a love for the gospel. He had a love for souls. There wasn't nothing going to slow him down. Go on down here, it says, and Saul, he made havoc of the church, entered into every house, and held him men and women, committed him to prison. Therefore they were all scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down, notice here, I love this. We're just going to go through this real quickly. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Oh, I tell you what, what's going on in the world today? It's preaching Christ. It ain't these new way of worshiping. It ain't these worship centers. Amen. It ain't these places don't have the word church out in front of the parking lot. Hey, I want to know where I'm going. Amen. I want to know what church I'm going to. I want to know what doctrine they're preaching. What God they're trying to tell me about preaching to me. Amen. And he said right here, and Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. What does Christ tell us to do as preachers? Preach the word. Instant in season, now the season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, follow, long suffering. Hey, it doesn't matter if the hellhounds are after us or hound. We still got to preach the word, amen. It doesn't matter what we're looking right in their face at, Brother Dyer. We still got to preach Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, amen. Oh, I tell you what, you go with God, He's going with you, amen. Hey, He'll have that shield of faith right there in front of you. He'll have His angels around you, amen. He'll be protecting you, hallelujah, the whole time you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it said here, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, those and the people with one accord. Brother Rick, wouldn't it be good you come in here on Sunday morning? Oh, brother, everybody in one accord. Everybody in one accord. Brother Ralph, you get up here to lead the choir. Everybody's singing in one accord. Oh, it'd be about like over there at the tabernacle when the cloud come down from heaven and filled the house. Whoa, Brother Don, they had rejoicing. Amen. Oh, wouldn't it be good if every church in Kingsport could experience that? Hey, we need to see that. Hey, I got to experience that when I was growing up. Not too many kids today can say that they've experienced a true movement of, hey, listen, I'm not Pentecostal, this might scare you, a true movement of the Holy Ghost of God in your service. Amen. Not too many people today. Well, like Brother Rick said, sometimes we already got it all mapped out. Amen. We don't give God time to move. But I tell you what, we need to get back and pray that our younger generation, our grandkids and our children can see a movement of the Holy Ghost of God again in our services and hear preachers like Brother Jack, Brother Cecil, Brother Don. I told my Brother Rick yesterday, I said, Brother Jack, sometimes I can't jump like he did. But he'd grab that pulpit and he'd jump up so high and he'd click him heels. And I thought he was going to jump over. You know what I'm talking about. Well, I thought many times he's going to jump on over the pulpit. But I'll tell you what, he'd get happy in the Lord. And cry, I rode with him, he'd pick me up. He'd cry, Geraldine had to drive the car. Why? Because he'll still be preaching, driving all the way down the road, amen, and rejoicing in the Lord. But old Stephen right here, he said, and the people came with one accord. If we all come in one accord, it'd be hard for a sinner to walk out that back door. It would be hard for him to walk over the blood of Christ. It would be hard for him to walk over the word that was shed, that was spread that morning, shared from your pastor or whoever, from the Sunday school teacher, from your pastor. It would be hard for that man, woman, boy, or girl to walk out that door lost. Oh, if we had the power of God in our services like we had before, as above, we can have that again. Nobody's changed but us. Brother Rose, nobody's changed. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He still wants to bless you like he did in days of old in our younger generation. He still wants to bless, but notice, he said they was all in one accord, giving heed unto those things which Philip spake. Brother Rick, would it be good if everybody gave heed to what you said? when they took heed to the young man that left here, he's been on my heart. At 16 years, I didn't know how old he was. He's been on my heart. Wouldn't it have been good if he just took heed to the gospel? Don, I know you've held a lot of revivals. I know you've done a lot of prison ministry. Paul, mission field, doesn't it break your heart when you see you preach your heart out? And you know God was working, God was dealing. You can see them there shaking in the tears, and they walk away. Oh, don't you just wish they took heed and come forward and saying that? Don't you wish sometimes that the church, the body of Christ, would take heed to what you're preaching to them, to how to draw closer to God and live more of a holier life to the Lord, and not going through the battles that you go through because you're being disobedient to Christ, but being obedient. Oh, I tell you what, life would be a whole lot easier if we took heed to what this blessed book tells us. Amen. My friend, Brother Paul's got a thing on this Bible, says it breathes. Amen. It's alive. It breathes and it's alive. It talks to us. We just got to learn to take heed to it. We got to learn to take heed to the man of God when he's preaching. Hey, the children of Israel wouldn't have gotten out of trouble if they'd listened to Moses, would they? They just didn't take heed. Amen. They didn't take heed. But we find here it said, go on, take heed, which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. We're supposed to live by faith today, aren't we? They said they took it because of what they heard and what they saw. Where are we at today? How much what we believe is based on faith? Honestly, how much what we believe is based on faith? Your Bible school. Y'all didn't know you were going to have that many kids, did you? Well, you had a ton of them. I was here yesterday. I was sitting right over there while I was sitting here, and then I had to move over there. But I saw this side pretty much full. What a blessing it was. What a blessing it was. Everything we do for God's got to be faith-oriented. It's got to be by faith. Well, Lord, I don't know. I just don't see after what you got for me. My daughter, my oldest daughter, before she got married, she came to me. She said, Daddy, she said, Bobby's asked me to marry him. And I said, what'd you say? Well, Red, Daddy, I really don't know. I said, I'm praying to... I said, first of all, let me ask you, has God opened the door? She said, yes, Daddy. She said, Daddy, I'm afraid to step in. I can't see what's in there. I said, step in, you'll know. I said, God, already God's the plan now. If the door's open, don't close it. Don't close the door and God open the door. Step in. Grace will not take you somewhere that grace has not already walked. Grace will not take you somewhere that God hadn't already made the plan and plowed the road ahead of. Grace will not take you somewhere that God's going to place you to hurt you. Amen. Grace will take you where God can use you, where God can teach you some lessons to learn more about Him. Amen. And who opened the door. But don't try to prize the door open that God hasn't opened. You'll be in danger. Amen. You'll be in danger. Let's go on right quick. But they was looking. They said, hearing and seeing miracles, which he did. They hadn't learned faith yet. The Old Testament saints said what? In Hebrews chapter 11, Rick was talking about yesterday. And I got to thinking, Brother Rick was talking, I got to thinking about the Old Testament saints said how that they braced them. And they braced the promises of God by faith. You know what? We're not embracing the promises. We're experiencing the promises. Amen. We had the promises today by faith. Let's get into Philip now. And he said right here that Philip preached. And he said, verse 7 said, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy that were lame were healed. Now notice this. And there was great joy in the city. Great joy in the city. Could you imagine, Brother Don, the joy that Kingsport could experience if people took heed to the Word of God? If people just hear Revelation said, those that have ears, let them hear. Let them hear what the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God is saying. Let them hear. Take heed. Oh, I tell you what, if the churches, the Tri-City area, amen, would take heed, amen, and not let what the men of God, what He's preaching, fall on dull ears, but hear. Oh, the joy that could be in Kingsport. The souls that we could see saved in Kingsport. The shouting and the praising God on our streets in Kingsport. Amen. You wouldn't have all the drug addiction, the murdering, the alcohol, and everything going on in Kingsport. Amen. You wouldn't have that. We'd have joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy, folks. Oh, we're all going to have it. He never promised it's going to be easy being a Christian, did he? Oh, but he promised he'd go with us. Amen. He promised he'd be with us all the way. I tell you what, I done made my mind up. There's nothing going to steal my joy. I don't know what it's like to have that joy unspeakable and feel full of glory. I don't know what it's like to have the joy of the Lord applied to my heart and life. We as kids, we knew, we always say, I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I got it there for what? To stay. Amen. And it's there to stay. Amen. I'm not going to let the devil or nobody rob me of the joy, brother, of the Lord in my heart. Too many Christians today, I'm afraid, let the devil rob them of their joy. Circumstances rob you of your joy. Kingsport has lost its joy. We live more in fear anymore, don't we? Fear. 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 Our government's trying to get us to live in what? Fear. And listen, I ain't talking about Democrats. So I'm talking about Republicans and all. Amen? Amen? And preachers this day and time, a lot of them, I know you're pastoring, but I know some that I've heard over the years. And one particularly, I heard him say one time, somebody said, you changed your preacher. Why? He said, I want to be asked back. Oh, that broke my heart. Don, that liked to cut me into. I had a lot of confidence in this man. He said, I want to be asked back. He said, I know you ain't preach as hard as you used to. I mean, not hard, you know what I'm saying. I mean, hard preaching. But preaching hard with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the men, women, dying and going to hell, not to be hateful, but preaching to them the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel. We grown up on hard preaching. Don, you was one of the hardest preachers I heard at one time, buddy. I mean, you let her fly. Brother Jack, let her fly. Brother Riley Sounds, let her fly. But they preached hard. Why? Because they loved us. Amen. They loved us. I mean, you feel like your mommy and daddy whooped you a little hard sometimes. They loved you. And oh, I'll tell you what, Pete, right here, we need to see joy back in the city of Kingsport. We need to see joy back in our church houses. We need to see joy back in our homes. We need to see joy back in our hearts and our life. When we come in, we shouldn't be coming in all sad face and look down and out. Every time I see Brother Ricky's always smiling, amen. Brother Paul back here always smiling. Brother Joe will go in Walmart, he'll say, glory to God! People just stand there and look at him, amen. He ain't afraid to brag about Jesus or talk about the Lord. He'll walk up to him, give him a gospel track right quick. But notice about Philip here. Philip right here was in a revival in Samaria. People getting saved. Great joy. Great joy. Well, that's where you want to be, ain't it? You want to be where there's joy. You want to be where people are being saved. You want to be where people are shouting and testifying and singing like y'all did today. Bless my heart. Sister, you bless my heart. The song you sung, bless my heart. We want to be in joy, don't we? I'm going to skip over. Look here. The next time we see Philip in a way as a soul winner. Go down to verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise. Arise. And go toward the south unto the way that goeth down to from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. He didn't say, now God, I ain't leaving this place. Man, heaven's here. You're not going to send me out there where it's dry. Well, I ain't going to find no water to cool my tongue, amen. There ain't no shade tree out there. Lord, it's dry, it's sandy. Gaza's about 140 miles square. Right there on the Mediterranean Peninsula, right there at the Gaza Strip. Right there in Palestinian country, if I'm not mistaken. God sent him down, they call that the open-air prison. Gaza, the open-air prison. Hot. Humid. Baking. Cold at night. But you know what he done? He said, he arose. And he went. Now let me ask you this. We're not in a desert land. Kingsport's a pretty nice place to live. When has God asked you the last time to rise and go next door and talk to your neighbor? To rise at work and go talk to your coworkers. To arise and go talk to that young person or young people's got friends. That little girl, I'm going to jump ahead of the message. She learned something the other day. You blessed my heart. And she said she got saved. She looked up and said, preacher, pray for my friend. She's already right. She's already wanting to go. She already got a burden. She didn't want to see her friend die Johnny, go to hell. Mike, don't go to hell. We've lost our burden, Doyle. When's the last time you took a gospel track and handed it to somebody? These tracks out there are like crazy. And I got some more like the other day when I was here. Amen. I like those you wrote. When's the last time God told you to rise? Get that track. Give it to that person. Everybody up here at McDonald's and Burger King knows who I am. Amen. A lot of these wretches, amen, COVID come in. I couldn't go to them, but I could handle my track. I only had one handed back to me. Lady told me she couldn't take it through the window. So I thought, next time I come here to pay for your background, I'm going to have to come out here and get my money, because she said, you can't take nothing through the window. Amen. Then I'd give her a track. Amen. That's what I thought about. Amen. She said, no, we can't take nothing through the window. That's why I said, well, that person back there did. But I thought, yeah, next time you're back here, I'm going to tell you to come out and get my money. But then give her a track. Amen. Yeah. But oh, I tell you what, folks, he arose and he went. He didn't say, Junior, let me pray about it. How many times you started a visitation, but the preacher, I'll pray about going. Paul, on the field, how many times somebody tells you I got to pray about it? I don't see nowhere in Matthew 28 when God gives a great commission to pray. He said, go. He said, go. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Teach them whatsoever, all things I've commanded you. Hey, I appreciate you, Bible school teacher. My little granddaughter will learn a lot. And I was watching her hear Yeshua when you was talking about the seed, because the last couple of days she's been asking my wife about salvation. And I was watching her and you started talking about that little seed being planted. And I watched her face, I mean, straight to you. And I said, God, let that seed keep being planted. Let it start growing. And I like what you said, your day's coming. Your day's coming. Your day's coming. You know what's important now? That we keep rising and we keep going and we keep teaching these little ones and keep watering that seed. You know what will happen if we don't? It's going to fall on dead ground. It's going to fall on dry ground, and Satan's going to come and snatch that seed, or they're going to fire them under the blowers and choke it to death. We don't want that seed to be choked. And that's why it's so important for preachers and teachers, amen, moms and dads, to keep the gospel laid out there in front of them kids. And here, Philip was being called out to the desert. We're going to see for one man. He just left a great revival. A city coming to know Jesus Christ. Joy everywhere. Joy everywhere. And we see here, he said, arise. And he said, and he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all the treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. 10 more minutes, I'm going to be done. I'll get you here by 7:30, I promise. I didn't mean to preach this long or be this long before you. I know you're tired. You know how far it was from Jerusalem to Ethiopia, or Ethiopia to Jerusalem? 1,593 miles. He went 1,593 miles to worship. Can't get people to walk across the street. 1,593 miles in a chariot. He didn't have air conditioning. He may have had some type of an umbrella. I don't know. Out in the desert land, 140-some miles of desert. In the hot sun. Yeah. But yet he wanted to go worship. But yet we see our houses today forsaken. You got enough room here, you still want to spread out. You can spread out. You can still wear your mask. You can still social. You can still use the hand sanitizers. You can still wear the gloves. But be faithful to God's house. Come out and worship. Come out and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And here we find, he said here, that was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. There's where the seed was being sowed. He had Isaiah the prophet. He had the scripture in his hand. He had the seed right there in his hand. He just needs somebody to help sow it, didn't he? He just needs somebody like we do sometimes to plant a ground, plant a garden. We go and take our fingers there that's been plowed and everything else and put a little hole in the ground and put the seed in and cover it back up. He needs somebody to come by, amen, and plant the seed in his heart. He had the seed Just like you said, your seed is good. There's nothing wrong with the seed. It's just the ground it falls on. And right here is some good ground it could have fell on if somebody, which we're going to see did, go and plant the seed in the heart so the Holy Ghost of God could help it start growing quick. Amen. He put miracle growing it real fast, didn't he? Amen. But notice right here. And he said, was returning. Amen. He said, the Spirit of the Lord said in the field, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Notice, go near. Don't stay back here. Don't haul him. Run. Go near. Philip took off running. And notice he said, this chariot. I wonder how many chariots there, but he pointed out this chariot. Yeah. Let me ask you right quick. How many of you know somebody's lost?
Yes,
I believe that's your chariot. How fast are you running to them to give them the gospel? What kind of excuse are we giving God that we can't go? Philip had one. The Lord's too hot. It's too cold. This man don't know me. He might take that whip and beat me to death with it. There's a lot of things out of the box he could have said or thought. But it didn't worry him. I'll tell you this right quick for the glory of God. When I came to church here, I was here. We was in Norbank witnessing. I went to a home over there, and there's a man that was way alive, and I was used to direct over there. Went to Norbank different times, this man's house. Knocked on his door one day, he finally told me, he said, you ever come back to my house again, I will blow your brains out. I will take my shotgun and I'll drop you right here on my porch. I will blow your brains out. I was in Norbank every Saturday visiting for the bus route. Don, one day I went by his house and drove by and God said, you go back. And I never will forget, I said, Lord, he said he'd blow my brains out. And I said, he meant it. God reminded me of what he did for me. Calvary.
Yeah.
Ralph, I turned the car around, went back, pointed his driveway up there, knocked on the door, and held the door. He said, what did I tell you the last time you was here? I said, sir, you said that you'd take your shotgun and blow my brains out. But sir, what Christ went through for me would be worth it. I said, I just want to tell you one more time, Jesus loves you. Now, if you want to blow my brains out, you go right ahead, but I want to tell you before you blow my brains out one more time, Shelby. Jesus loves you. He said, come on in. Come on in. I walked in. You know what I seen? I walked in the door, Brother Rose, there was a shotgun. I thought, God's got me here, Dad, go shoot me. He didn't get saved that day, Don. But he allowed me to give him the plant of salvation. I got to see the tears in his eyes. I got to plant the seed, and later on he got saved. What if I took heed what he said, I'm going to blow your brains out? What here if Philip didn't run up to the eunuch? We're going to see what happens here in a minute. What would have happened? What would have happened if somebody not? How many of you got saved by the way of visitation? Somebody coming to your home telling you about Jesus? Or somebody inviting you to the house of God? Yeah, these hands going up. What if somebody didn't care about you enough to come to your house and knock on your door or witness to you and tell you about Jesus? Where would you be at tonight? We'd be in hell. We would be in hell. But oh, I'm so glad, Don, that Mom at the clothesline told me about Jesus. I'm so glad Dad loved me and told me about Jesus. I'm so glad Brother F.M. Brown preached to me about Jesus. I'm so glad Mildred Rutledge taught me in Sunday school about Jesus. I'm so glad that James Baker taught me in Sunday school about Jesus. I'm so glad back then, Don, we had teachers in school that told us about Jesus. Amen. Miss Isla, I never will forget her. Every morning, she had a list. We all had to do devotions. We couldn't get out of it. We all had to get up and read devotions. Amen. Take prayer requests. We stood up and said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Amen. You don't do that in school no more. Buddy, we need to get back to that. Oh, but they was not ashamed to stand and let people know that they were godly teachers and they loved the Lord. Thank God for teachers like that. But here, he ran. He caught up with the chariot. Don't know how fast he was going. And notice what he said. The seed's in his hand. Isaiah's in his hand. And he said, right here, verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest. Notice, understandest thou what thou readest. A lot of sinners don't understand salvation. They got the seed. They've heard the seed. But they need somebody to explain it. They need somebody to explain it. And he said right here, and he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? These people out there just need to be guided to salvation. Gary, these people out there, they just need somebody to guide them and explain to them salvation. Explain to them the Romans wrote, for we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. As appointed a man wants to die, but after this, the judgment, we all got a death appointed time. We all got to die. We all got appointed time with death. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Today is the day of salvation. What's your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanish away. Friend, that person that you said today, you raised your hand, it's lost. That's your chariot. Can I tell you what? They don't have the assurance of tomorrow, neither do you. And that's why it's so important for us to take the gospel to them. I'm going to tell this real quick. Move on. A friend of mine worked at Exide, and the guy gave him a track one day as they was leaving. Three or four of them together. And he said, sir, will you just take time to explain this to me? He said, no. He said, it's all in there. Read it and you'll understand. He said, sir, will you please take time and explain it to me? He said, I'm not trying to. I just want you to explain it to me. He said, I got to go. I got to be somewhere. I got to be. Just read it. It'll tell you what to do. Never got. He's not saved this day. Somebody couldn't take 5 minutes, Brother Don. 5 minutes. What if that guy couldn't read? What if he couldn't read it? Who's going to explain it to him? What if they have a learning disability? Who's going to explain it to him? Go in all the world. Go, go, go. Amen. So I'm going to hurry right quick. I'm going to get done here in just a minute. Said Philip, run up next to him. And Philip got to hearing what he's reading. He said, how can I accept some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears. So opening not his mouth, and in humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this man? Of himself or some other man. Then Philip opened his mouth. There's the key. Before somebody can get saved, we talked to them, we got to open their mouth. We can't play shut mouth. We can't play shut mouth. We got to open our mouth and start talking. Brother Ralph Roberts and Brother Robert Fletcher used to take me with them on Monday nights. They were my visitation buddies. I just go pray. I didn't say hard anything. The one night down here on Packing House Road, a little trailer court, they go see this guy a lot. And one night in there, God broke my heart, opened my mouth. Let me give him my testimony. Amen. And yeah, he shut up since. Amen. I tell you what, it felt so good just to tell what Jesus done for me. I wanted the whole world to know. And that's all you got to do is give them your testimony. You may not understand the full Romans road or how to give it, but you can tell them what Jesus done for you. That you're a sinner, died on the road to hell, and you cried out for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If I can call out and ask God that Jesus will save me, you can do the same, Brother Jimmy. He'll save you. He promised you what he said. I know why I cast you out. He preached to him Isaiah 53 about the lamb that was led to the slaughterhouse. He told him about Calvary. Amen. How Jesus was that perfect lamb. He was a lamb, that lamb, and he was the lamb. Amen. And he was slaughtered, beat, bruised, hung there, took our sins, nailed to his cross that we could go free. That we could go free. He paid our sin debt. He done what the first Adam could. I believe he went from the first Adam all the way, amen, to where he was at that time in biblical prophecy. In biblical times, and not prophecy, biblical times, and preach Christ. The Bible says we preach not ourselves but Christ. We preach Christ, not ourselves. We preach Christ. Too many preachers want to preach yourselves today, not Christ. I want to hear about Christ. You can't do nothing for me, but Jesus can. Amen. And notice he went on down the road. And we'll jump ahead here for time. And he said, verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see. He saw something, didn't he? That he kind of remembered about baptism. Baptism don't save you, folks. See, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? Do you believe? Notice what his answer was. He had the right words. Oh, how he had the right words. He had the right words, Brother Rick. You and I had to say too. Everybody in this building, if you got saved, you had to say the same thing. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. Not a great teacher. Not a good person. Not a prophet. But he is the Son of God. Amen. Oh, when a sinner cries out, Lord, save me. Amen. Oh, confess him as the Son of God. Somebody made their abode right here. And he's called the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Godhead. And we find here that it says, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You notice he went back to worship and come away empty, didn't he? He didn't get what he went for, did he? Oh, it's sad today. People going to the house of God getting nothing. Services are dead. Ichabod on the door. Probably got somebody preaching. Don't know what he's talking about yourself. Probably never been saved yourself. Oh, how it's important for us to get them in the right church. Guy said something to me at work one day. He told people, said, y'all need to just go to church of your choice. I said, I beg your pardon. He looked at me and he said, what? I said, I don't believe. He said, what do you mean you don't believe? I said, no, every church preaches the gospel. He said, what do you mean? I said, you've been saved, sir? That's personal. I said, yeah, it's personal. Christ made it personal. Amen. And I'll tell you, sir, I'll make it personal. He saved me. And I'm not ashamed to tell it. He wouldn't answer. But I said, folks, if you're going to church, find your good Bible, believe in church. Find you some man of God that will stand and preach you the Word of God. Preach you the gospel. Preach you the truth. Tell you about heaven and hell. Tell you about how to be saved, how to escape hell, and how you can enter heaven and have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I said, if you want to know, well, some, I can give you several good churches that you can attend to even in your area where you live. Not every church is like this church. Amen? Not every church has a pastor that will preach you the Word of God in love. And worry about you and pray over you and pray for you. And we find here that Philip went on his way. The Bible tells other places where he went, everywhere he went from there, he went preaching. But you know what? History tells us why it's important for one person, what God can do for one person. It said the eunuch went away rejoicing, right? History tells us when the first missionaries went to Ethiopia, what happened? Amen. They were surprised, wasn't they? The gospel was already there. I wonder how the gospel got there. Hey, some eunuch come in there reading, had the seed. Woo! Had the seed. I believe he rode into town. Somebody made him say, hey, you look different than you last. What happened? Come up here. Let me tell you about this right here. I believe it started from there to here 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 to here. Amen. And Ralph, they were surprised when they got to Ethiopia. The gospel had already beat them. Friend, what about it tonight? I'm over. I'll tell you 7:30. Forgive me for lying to you. About 5 minutes over. What are we going to do to get the gospel out? You raised your hand. You know someone that's lost. When are you going to go visit that chariot? When you go run to that chariot, say, can I take this 5 minutes? Brother Paul preached, I'm going to share this. Paul was telling me a while back he went to a place that his car worked on. While he was there, he got to talk to a young man about his soul before he left. God led him there to get his car worked on, but he also led him there to a chariot. The young man got saved before he left. Folks, God's got open doors for us out there every day of our week if we just walk up to that chariot and share the gospel. Brother Rick, appreciate you, buddy. Come on. You can close.